So you want to save more, but don't think you make enough. But is earning more money really the answer? Hi, I'm Rob West. You might be surprised to hear that how much you save doesn't have much to do with your salary. And there's data to back that up. I'll talk about it today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, a study by the Employee Benefit Research Institute and J.P. Morgan sheds light on people's saving habits and why some folks are successful at it and others aren't. It defined three different levels of savers. What they called low savers managed to put away about 2 to 3% of their salary. The next category, middle savers, banked 5 to 6% of their income, and high savers were consistently saving about 9% of their salary. So middle savers put away about 3% more than low savers, and high savers 3% more than middle savers. Now, those are savings rates, not income rates. In fact, they have nothing to do with income. The research showed clearly that people, often with identical incomes, saved at different rates, and not necessarily more than folks earning less. Simply put, there's no link between income and saving. This helps explain why financial author Ron Blue describes as a consumptive lifestyle. That's when folks who earn more spend more. Instead of banking all or part of a raise, they tend to increase their lifestyle and spending. It may also explain why savings rates actually went up during the COVID shutdowns. As people saw their income reduced or even just threatened, they cut back on spending to save more. Of course, the Bible says we should do this all the time, because we never know what the future may bring. In Proverbs 6, we find, "Go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she provides her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest." The message there is that saving isn't complicated. You just can't be lazy about it. It's easy to let your spending creep up as you earn more money. It takes discipline to prevent that from happening. If you've fallen victim to the consumptive lifestyle, try this. Pledge to bank any type of future increase you receive, whether it's a raise, a tax refund, or even a gift card. Go ahead and use the gift card on budgeted purchases, but move an equivalent amount into savings. And in the meantime, how do you move from being a low saver to a middle saver or middle to high saver? Well, the research showed that you can get the most bang for your buck by concentrating on three key areas. First, high savers tended to focus their saving efforts on housing. That includes a mortgage or rent, taxes, utilities, and home furnishing. Look for ways to save there. Second, see how you can cut spending on food, both eating out and groceries. And finally, trim the cost of transportation, which includes vehicle purchases, fuel, and maintenance. Constantly looking for ways to cut costs in those categories could move you into the next higher bracket of savers, and that 3% increase will have a huge impact over time. The research showed that retirement account balances of middle savers were twice as large as those of low savers. The researchers also posed this question to respondents. Would you rather save $150 a month, $35 a week, or $5 a day? Four times as many people chose to save $5 a day rather than $150 a month, even though it's the same amount. And that was consistent across the various income ranges. The bottom line is that, psychologically, it seems easier to give up something that costs $5 a day. Keep that in mind when you're looking for ways to cut spending. It's helpful to write down every penny you spend for at least a month. Three would be better. As you do that, look for small repeat purchases that you can live without. You'll probably find that saving $5 a day is pretty easy. Just don't tell yourself that you're actually saving $150 a month. And if you need help with this, well, why not download the FaithFi app? It can help you set up your budget in three different ways depending on your management style. It will also track your spending and alert you when you go over in a category. You can download it at faithfi.com, that's faithfi.com, or wherever you get your apps. Increasing your savings, even by just a little, will make a big difference in the long run. We hope this helps you move up into a higher saving category. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Much more straight ahead.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Have you ever wondered what it would be like to speak to the Lord face to face? It's the kind of question our children ask. Where's God? Why can't I see Him? The sincerity of the question sometimes reveals doubts or questions in our own hearts. But we have a promise in the book of John, chapter 3. The wind blows where it wants, you hear it, but you don't know where it came from. So it is with the Holy Spirit. We cannot see the Lord, but we know where He's been. No one can meet Him without changing, and He leaves joyful, hopeful, and faithful Christians in His wake. Where is God? By faith. He's right there in your heart. Spend more time with Jesus with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Today's Issues is American Family Radio's flagship program, featuring AFA President Tim Wildman.
They're going to deny this till the Lord comes back.
Right. And others, staff and friends of the American Family Association.
Did they leak this? Was it intentional? Was it an accident? We want more answers.
It's a part of history. You know, we need to know.
Today's Issues, with the help of American Family News, making sense of the issues of the day. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. It's time to turn the corner and take your calls and questions today on anything financial. What are you thinking about? Let's help you apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices and help you move forward with confidence. The number to call with lines open, 800-525-7000. Pat Montague standing by today, handling our phone zone today at 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you with any financial questions today. We're going to begin in Ohio. Charles, you're our first caller, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for taking my call and for carrying this torch, as you could say.
Thank you, Charles.
You know, helping all of us. So if you get to a second question, that's fine. If the first one takes too long, then I understand. The first one, I'm 51, my wife is 41, and so far we've just started investing a few years ago. So we have about 120 invested and an almost paid off $125,000 house. The reason why that relates is, I guess, more towards the second question. But the with the mutual funds, stocks, everything, with the market being down, I'm wondering about front loading my Roth IRA, the full $7,500, as opposed to dollar cost averaging in. more on your opinion on that. I know it could go down more, which would make dollar cost averaging better, but it could also go up in 23. So I'm kind of thinking, we don't really know. You know, is front loading a good decision?
Yeah. What is your age, Charles, if you don't mind me asking?
51, and she's 51. 41, my wife.
Yeah, great. I love the Roth IRA. As long as you're under the income limits and you're able to contribute, and as you pointed out, you're able to put in an extra $1,000 this year up to $7,500 being over the age of 50. And this idea of front loading versus, you know, systematically making those contributions, keep in mind, you can go ahead and make that full contribution for 2023 right now if you want to, and you don't have to invest it. You could drop it into the money market, but I like the idea of you beginning to move that into the market systematically. Go ahead and make the contribution now. That way you've set the money aside and it doesn't find its way somewhere else over the course of the year. You've already earmarked it for the long term for retirement. And again, that tax-free growth is really powerful. And then you start to work it into the market in the same way that perhaps you have your other investments organized. And maybe you do that over the next 6 months, because you're right. Could the market go straight up from here? Not likely, but certainly it could. As we hit a recession, is it going to be a little deeper than we thought? Could the market sell off as interest rates continue to rise? Sure. But again, with a Roth IRA and you being 51 years old, you're not looking at using this money next week or next year or even 5 years from now. I mean, this is long-term money that's probably at least 15 years down the road. And you know, the very best place for you to build wealth and do that in a tax-advantaged way is going to be right there inside that Roth IRA. So yeah, I think to answer your question, I just go ahead and make that contribution as soon as you can, get that money in there, and then maybe start working it into the market over the next 3 or 6 months in a way that aligns with your investment strategy that hopefully is derived from your values and priorities, but also your risk tolerance and goals. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and that's exactly what I did. I parked it in the money market until I got some confirmation on whether just to throw it all into a mutual fund or dollar cost average. And I hear what you're saying. Take 3 to 6 months to dollar cost it in, rather than maybe not a whole year, but 3 to 6 months because of the possible upcoming, they call it a soft recession, but we don't know.
Exactly right. Yeah, go ahead with part two. Sure.
We talked to an advisor. We haven't gone forward with him. We're actually going to get a hold of we have an appointment today at 3 o'clock with a Kingdom advisor. But the advisor we had before, he was investing us in a mutual fund that has a 5% front end load fee. And with not having as much at our age as we should, the 5% front end fee makes me pretty leery. But there's probably no way to know if, because supposedly the 5% front load fees are better mutual funds, quote unquote. That's, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Can you speak to that at all?
I can. You know, I mean, I wouldn't want to get into the specific strategies being deployed by any number of advisors, because there are a variety of ways to approach it, including how the advisor gets compensated. My general rule of thumb is I don't like the front-end load mutual funds. I mean, you can find just as high a quality mutual fund in the no-load space. You know, there's going to be a management fee built in there, but doesn't mean you need to pay a front-end or a back-end load, and you can still get plenty of quality with award-winning funds that will do everything you need to do without paying that huge front-end charge. So my preference would be to stay away from those and probably go more toward a managed approach where you're paying a percentage of assets under management for somebody to actively manage that in light of your goals and objectives, and using investments that are the least expensive investments. They're, again, going to have built-in costs that are over and above that management fee that you're paying to the advisor. But a front-end 5% load, I just think, is unnecessary personally.
I appreciate that. And you worded that perfectly well, as in, what would you do if it was your money, kind of thing? Because, like, you, as I said it, I thought, well, you can't speak to the other advisor. But so then I was going to follow up and say, well, sure, what would you do if it was yours? But you went that route. So I appreciate that.
Absolutely, Charles. Well, listen, God bless you, my friend. We appreciate you checking in with us today. If we can help further along the way, let us know. All right?
Thank you. God bless.
All right. By the way, Charles mentioned he's going to visit with a Kingdom advisor this afternoon, and you might not be aware that here on Faith and Finance, we really value the certified Kingdom advisor designation. These are men and women who have been especially trained to bring a biblical perspective of money management to their professional advice. They've also met high standards in training and competence and character, pastor and client references, and really can be somebody that you know will bring God's heart to bear in light of their financial counsel. And if you'd like to find a CKA, a Certified Kingdom Advisor, in your area, you can do that on our website, our brand new site. If you haven't seen it, just visit faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. And while you're there, click Find a CKA. Again, faithfi.com, click Find a CKA. All right, we're going to take a break here in just a moment. But before we do, I'm going to check in on an email that we received recently. By the way, if you have a question today and you'd like to get in on the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. The number to call is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Ann wrote to us and said, my husband and I are expecting a tax refund of around $7,000. We owe about that much on our truck, plus another $11,000 in credit card debt. What should we pay off first? Thanks very much. You know, and paying off those credit cards are a no-brainer. They're going to have a higher and a variable interest rate, which is going to continue to head north as the Federal Reserve raises interest rates over the balance of the year. So I would absolutely focus on that first. I think that's a great use of that tax refund to try to eliminate that $11,000 as quickly as you can. On the balance that will remain, I would really dial into your spending plan, try to cut costs as much as you can to free up margin, so that you can get that balance paid off as quick as you can. If you're having some trouble with that, you could connect with our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. They could get that interest rate reduced and give you one level monthly payment. You can always send extra. But with the combination of that level payment plus the lower interest rate, you'll get that paid off 80% faster. ChristianCreditCounselors.org. By the way, I would take a look at your withholdings, see if you can get that refund check down. I'd rather that be in your budget every month. Ronnie, we're coming your way after the break, plus your questions. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute. No way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches, and we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at LitePointPortfolios.com.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Here at the AFA Foundation, we help families just like yours shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Chelsea Wildman.
We would love to work with you to see if a charitable gift annuity is right for your situation.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
why not reach out to the AFA Foundation team today?
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Take your calls and questions today on anything financial. What are you thinking about? Let's talk about it. 800-525-7000. We have a few lines open. 800-525-7000. Do you want to talk about your spending plan, your long-term savings? Maybe it's your giving strategy in a new year. Thinking about how do we perhaps approach our giving differently? Maybe you need to ask a different question this year rather than how much should I give? Maybe it's time to ask, how much should I keep? Or maybe you implement a progressive giving goal where you begin to move your systematic giving up 1% a year. I love that idea. It's simple and allows you to continue to make progress in your giving. Whatever you're thinking about today, give us a call. 800-525-7000. Riding along with me today in the shotgun seat, I guess it is my good friend, John Putnam. John is a certified Kingdom advisor. He's a financial coach. He's the founder of Smarter Stewardship. You'll find it at smarterstewardship.com. And John has been counseling families with means and helping them navigate the emotional side of financial decision-making, as well as preparing the next generation for a long, long time. And John, it's great to have you sitting in the studio today with me.
Rob, always good to be with you, my friend. Great to be with you.
Hey, John, we're going to talk about goal setting here in the new year in just a few minutes. I know you have some thoughts to share with us today. As we turn the calendar, there's something about pushing the reset button and maybe looking at your financial goals. Well, how should we do that as a believer? John will give us a few ideas on that in just a minute. But first to Georgia we go. Ronnie, you've been waiting patiently, sir. How can I help you?
How may I help you?
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I have four stocks that I bought through computer shares, you know, and I just wonder, I only have about $37,000 in the four stocks, and they're not actually performing like I think they should be, paying the dividends. So I just wonder where maybe I should sell these stocks and convert it to one, or just sell it all.
Yeah, very good. Obviously, several questions. I don't know what companies these are, and I don't need to because we're going to talk about this at a high level here, Ronnie. But give me a couple of insights on this. Number one, what type of account are these stocks in? Are they in a retirement account or are they in a taxable account?
They're in a taxable account.
All right. And how does this money fit into your overall plan? I know you said this is about $37,000. What are you living on right now? Are you just drawing Social Security alone? Do you have other income sources?
I have a Social Security and a retirement check that I live on, quite comfortably.
So the combination of those two really cover your expenses and you got a little bit left over. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So this is money that you haven't earmarked for any specific purpose. You just want it to continue to grow. So you've got it down the road if you need it, right?
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Yeah. I like the idea of you perhaps liquidating these positions. Again, I don't know what the companies are. They may go straight up from here or they may, you know, go the other direction. I think the thing I'm considering is, you know, being in four different companies, you're probably a little more highly concentrated, at least with this portfolio, than I'd like for you to be. I think with this amount of money, $37,000, which is not an insignificant amount of money, you just putting that into a high quality mutual fund, whether you put that in a, an index mutual fund that mirrors the broad market, or you take a little bit more proactive approach, or maybe it's a mix of a broad market index fund with a bond index, split between the two. I think, either of those could work, but I like you being a little more highly diversified and capturing the big moves in the market rather than being, focused on the performance of these four specific companies, which might have you a little more highly concentrated than I'd like for you to be. Obviously, there's going to be some tax implications, so you always want to understand that before you make a change like this. But as long as you understand what that looks like and you've perhaps consulted with your CPA, or if you handle your taxes yourself, you've thought through that, then I think making that change is something that makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
Is that helpful?
Okay. Well, yeah. Like I say, I should just go ahead and sell them off and buy into a mutual fund.
That would be my preference. Yes, sir. As long as you've considered the appropriate mutual fund for your age and goals and you've understood the tax implications. Hey, I hope that helps you, my friend. Thanks for checking in with us today, Ronnie. God bless you. And if I can help you further along the way, let me know. Hey, before we head back to the phones today, and Larry and Star, we're coming your way in just a moment. John, just a couple of minutes before our next break, here at the new year, a lot of folks thinking about, maybe I can lose a few pounds. Maybe I need to spend a little bit more time with the family, and maybe I need to right-size my financial foundation. What advice would you have for us as believers as we think about goal setting?
Well, I will tell you, Rob, thanks so much. Great being here with you. When it comes to goal setting in the new year, there was some research done that was in an article recently that said 92% of those who set New Year's goals never achieve their goals.
Yeah.
Hard to believe.
Yeah.
And a lot of that comes down to focus, people making general goals, general objectives rather than focus. So I'm encouraging people to think about their vision and their mission and their values real clearly. When you think about vision, the vision is where do you want to go? The mission is how you're going to get there, and the values are what's the type of person that you want to be on the journey. Mm. And we make it way too complicated when we think about vision, mission, and values. But when we've got that point on the horizon, I always think about taking a trip. And that is, if I'm going to be driving to, Ohio, if I'm going to Akron, Ohio, then all of a sudden I know exactly where I'm going. Now I know the mission, the roads that I need to take, the route that I need to take. And how many times have you gone on that trip with your kids and you say, hey, kids, we're getting ready to go on a trip. So no loud voices. Keep your hands to yourselves, right? So we're telling them the type of people we want them to be on the journey, right?
That's
it. So that's what it's about. We make it too complicated, and we can capture simple concepts and principles to really help us in the new year.
I love it. What if you made some goals this year based on your vision and your mission and your values? Maybe you could actually accomplish them. Hey, we're going to talk with Larry and Star just around the corner. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
150 years ago, Charles Spurgeon's writings still being read by people every morning and evening. What is it about this man's daily devotional that appeals to so many? I'm Charles Morris. Join me for Haven Today all week as we enter a series with Spurgeon.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at afr.net.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
At Faith and Finance, we're on a mission to educate, equip, and connect you and many others with the powerful financial answers found in God's Word. We're working to meet people right where they are through national radio programs, our app, website, and other resources. If you've benefited from this program, would you consider becoming a monthly Faith and Finance patron? Check out all of the benefits of a Faith and Finance patron's membership at faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Sitting in the shotgun seat with me today, my good friend John Putnam, founder of Smarter Stewardship, a financial coach and certified kingdom advisor. Before the break, John was sharing with us about goal setting in the new year. We'll get real practical here in a moment and talk about what that looks like for perhaps the goals that you're setting. But first, back to the phones to Oklahoma. Larry, you've been very patient, sir. Go right ahead.
Well, I'm a old fella.
All right.
And I started drawing my Social Security back when I first turned 62. And I had insurance through my where I worked at, and since then I've always had some kind of little insurance. Now I'm needing to go off on that Medicare. And first of all, I've heard that it's not any good at all. I'm going to go like to the bottom of the list on everything. And I'll have to pay more when I could have took the Part B hospital, it was $104. Now, if I kick it in the spring of this year before I finally retire out, well, not retire out, just quit working for somebody else, why, it's $190.
Yeah.
And am I going to have to pay that $190, or will I need to pay the earlier amount that I could have got that in? And then I got a couple other questions for you.
All righty. Yes, sir. So you, you've been covered under your current employer's health care, which is why you're just now enrolling for Medicare. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And so you'll have a window of time where you need to go ahead and take the Medicare option, and you will unfortunately be paying that higher amount as you enroll.
Yeah. See, that takes away any Social Security that additional that I would have gotten back when I was 62. I'm 74 now, and the last few years I've just been driving a school bus, and I love doing it, and my little children and all love me, but I'm getting old, you know.
Yes, sir.
And
I'm sure you're a blessing to those kids. So I'm delighted to hear you were doing that, Larry.
They've been paying my insurance for me. And over the years, I've just had odd type of jobs. I have an education and a degree and all such and sort of that, but I don't have never had a regular long job. I've been in the ministry off and on for some 55 years now, serving churches, and I helped start seven churches in in Las Vegas and different places around the country. And you never get $200-$400.
Yes, sir.
Every once in a while off of them instead of, regular salaries. Sure. I know nowadays there's all these high-end preachers, but in my days, we trusted the Lord.
Yes,
and the
sir.
Lord's been good to me. My house is paid for. My 2.5 acres is paid for. And I just bought another 2.5 acres. I'm going to have to move because highway's coming through.
Mm.
And I've got some houses that are not rentals, but they were tax sale properties that I bought. I'm tearing those down for the lumber and such as that. So when I have to build the other, start on the other house.
Well, Larry, I'll tell you are a blessing, my friend, and I appreciate you checking in with us today. Here's the reality. Because you've followed God's principles of handling money, and clearly in your testimony today about God's provision in your life and your service to the Lord and the local church, and through that school bus, that ministry to those little kids every morning as they get on and see your face and hear your encouragement, and the fact that you've minimized your debt and you're completely debt free, so as your Social Security benefits have gone up, so has that premium there on the Medicare, and I understand that's probably a wash. The key here is that because you've lived modestly and eliminated your debt, hopefully that puts you in a position to continue to meet your obligations each month and get by with what you have. I realize it's not going to be easy, but listen, my friend, you keep serving the Lord, and we appreciate you checking in with us today. And if we can help you further along the way, don't hesitate to reach out. God bless you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got some lines open. John, before our next break, in our last segment, you were sharing with us about goal setting in the new year, and you said we should really be focused on our vision, our mission, and our values as we make those goals, and perhaps that would be the key to helping us actually accomplish those goals and not be one of the 92% that allow those goals to go by the wayside here at the start of a new year. Give us some examples, maybe one example of what that might look like.
Yeah, these goal superchargers of vision, mission, and values are so important. So, like, for example, one of the common New Year's goals I hear so often is, John, I want to be more generous, which is a great thinking and a great feeling, but it doesn't really have teeth. It doesn't really have intentionality. It's more implied. It's more general. But if we can make that more intentional, more focused, so instead of saying, I want to be more generous, maybe you want to think about what I really want is with the generosity is I want 5,000 more people to have access to clean water and the living water. So that's a clear vision. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And to me, I read that and I imagine people that are just wandering aimlessly. And God doesn't want us wandering aimlessly with our finances, especially our generosity. So when we think about if I want to put clean water and living water in the hands of 5,000 new people, then we think about, well, to do that, I'm going to increase my giving, which is good, but to make it a little better, you can say, I want to increase my giving by $50 a month or $50 a week even. And then from there, starting by, say, March 1st, 2023. So by the time you're finished, our objective is this idea of a SMART goal that is specific, it's measurable, it's actionable, mm-hmm. it's a little risky, mm-hmm. it's also time-keyed. So all of a sudden, be more generous turns into increase my giving by, let's say, $50 a week starting March 1st, 2023. Now all of a sudden, it's specific, I can measure it, it's actionable because I'm saying increase, it's a little risky, it sort of gets my stomach a little bubbling up a little bit with some nerves, good nerves. And it's time keyed. It's tied to sometime I'm actually going to do something.
Oh, I love that. And because we've attached it to this vision of, as you said in this example, 5,000 people having access to clean water and the living water, now when I'm making sacrifices in the short term to accomplish that, I know the why, which changes everything, and perhaps I'll actually accomplish it, right?
Yeah, and you can invite other people to join you. You don't have to accomplish the vision all by yourself.
Founder of Smarter Stewardship, John Putnam, sitting in with me today. We're going to take more of your calls in the next segment. Call right now, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back with Faith and Finance on American Family Radio.
What do normal human beings want for a six-year-old?
Bishop E.W. Jackson.
To be loved, to be protected, to be shielded from some of the ugliness in the world. But you got these nutcases who want to push on a six-year-old that you are inherently evil because of the color of your skin.
Tune in to The Awakening, weekdays at noon Central on American Family Radio.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
Hannah's Heart with Ann Cockrell and Kendra White.
Hannah took her pain to God, and God heard her and was with her.
Hannah's Heart helps couples process infertility and miscarriage through a biblical lens. Join us Saturday afternoon at 5 Central on American Family Radio. Find the podcast at AFR.net.
45,000. That's how many times Faith and Finance referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org.
chministries.org.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. You know, as we think about our money, think about this. Larry Burkett used to say that the way we handle money is the clearest indicator into what's going on in our lives spiritually. Well, that might be scary. Maybe not. Perhaps it's a chance to back up and say, what does the way I'm handling money say about what I value and where I've placed my trust? And do I like the story that it tells? If I were to print off, because nobody uses a check register anymore, if I were to print off my financial account and look at where I allocate God's money, does it truly reflect my values? And maybe going back to the goal, John, that you said a moment ago. And by the way, John Putnam, founder of SmarterStewardship.com, is here with me today. And also the author of He Spends, She Spends. But John was saying, if we set our goals with our vision in mind, and he used the example, what if this year, rather than just, I want to be more generous, I were to say, I want to help 5,000 people experience clean water and the living water. And I'm going to do that by giving, starting March the 1st, $50 a month to a ministry doing just that. Now I've got a specific goal that's tied to my vision with my mission and my values aligned with it. Maybe that's going to allow me to actually accomplish that goal. And then I know, John, that when I look at my finances, it's actually aligning with what's most important to me. And I don't know about you, but I experience most people just are spending without real thought given to that.
Yeah, and you're after God's own heart, right? God is a God of detail. He's a God of clarity. He's a God of confidence, not of fear and uncertainty. And so many times I see goals that are general in nature. They don't really have any teeth and energy around them. The more specific they are, look at all of the examples of specificity in the Bible with Moses and Joseph and Noah, and the list goes on and on, building the temple, the level of detail and clarity that is there. I think he wants the same from us. But again, Proverbs 16:9 says, the mind of man makes his plans, but God directs his steps. We always want to leave room for God to move. And so often, though, Rob, people try to do, they get excited, they try to do too much too quickly.
Yes.
Usually people can only handle about one or two additional goals a quarter on top of normal life if they really want to be effective. We overestimate what we can do in a year, and we underestimate what we can accomplish in 3 years.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's really practical and really rings true with me just thinking about my own experience. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We could probably sneak in one or two more questions today before the end of the broadcast. What are you thinking about as you think about your financial life? And it doesn't have to be on goal setting. Whatever you're wrestling with today, financially speaking, we'd love to help you apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions. Again, 800-525-7000. Phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you. John, as we think about here heading into a new year, I know you and I were talking this morning just about this idea of recession readiness. And in a few weeks, you'll be back to unpack this a little bit further. But there's a lot of folks out there that are concerned as we head into this year. Most economists, a study I saw recently said 64% of economists are expecting a recession this year. You know, that can cause us, you know, the emotional side of money begins to kick in. What might you say for those who are a bit concerned?
Well, there are a lot of people out there that are dealing with this in a very serious way, first and foremost. Their jobs are challenged, their finances are challenged, and they're operating from a position of scarcity, and that can do, that's very powerful for people to have to deal with. There's also people out there that are still dealing with an abundance. Their job is secure. They have more. So obviously one of the quickest ways to think about this is how can I decrease expenses or increase revenue?
Yeah.
I know that sounds so easy and so simple when I say it, but those are the two big levers if you're dealing with scarcity. On the side of abundance, though, and let me get back to scarcity just for a moment. If you're dealing with scarcity, ask for help.
Yeah.
Right? I say you can increase revenue, you can decrease expenses, and ask for help.
Yes.
If you're dealing from a position of abundance, you can decrease your expenses and then take those dollars to increase your giving. Yeah. And then look for opportunities to provide the help that other people are looking for. It's the way the body works together. There's so much relational opportunity here. In any type of recession or any type of crisis or challenge, we have the opportunity to think about opportunities and challenges. So what opportunities does this financial situation create? Obviously, there are people out there that are concerned about it, that are looking for answers, that are looking for confidence. Think about the relational and the ministry opportunities of your neighbors, of your family, of your coworkers who need to hear the love and truth of God at a time just like this. So with the increased challenges comes an increased opportunity for ministry that you can bring into the fold. That's just one example. And Rob, like you said, I've sort of created this recession readiness mini course. It's going to be available here in a few weeks. And I'm just excited about the way people are approaching this and how they think about it to give them the best chance for success and weathering the storm. And, you know, I share this, you know, we may be a little out of shape right now because we've sort of come out of this boom since 2009, but guys, we are built for the valleys.
Mm.
We've got the truth. Got right, always right,
yep.
Never changes, always relevant. We can lean on this. So we can fight in the valleys. We can praise on the mountaintops. And this is a time for us to come together as a body and lean on what we know to be true.
That's such a good word. And when we look to Scripture, John, we shouldn't be surprised because the Bible talks about these seasons.
Ecclesiastes 1, right? This side of heaven, there's a season for everything.
That's exactly right. And so what an opportunity, as John said, as we think about this year and perhaps if we were to hit a recession, most economists expecting at least a mild recession, but what if it's a little deeper? I know that brings some cause for concern, but if we flip the script here and begin to look at this as an opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus, what a blessing to serve those around us in need and even point people back to Christ. As John said, we'll be talking a lot more more about this in the days ahead, and he'll be back to unpack this a bit further. All right, to the phones we go. Marilyn's in Georgia. Marilyn, how can I help you?
Yes, my husband and I are 72. We have a separate account that I've managed to put $20,000 in. That's the only savings we have. We owe $40,000 on 5 acres and a double-wide mobile home. Pay $500 a month on that and $500 on a vehicle payment, a 2018, something that would serve us through our older years.
Yes, ma'am.
And I wonder about that $20,000 and what I should do with it.
Yeah.
I should just keep in that separate checking account or what?
Yeah. So this really is your emergency fund. You've got your bills covered through Social Security, correct?
Yes. And my husband does work. Okay. He brings in 15. I bring in 800 a month, and then he makes 500 a week now, but I don't know how much longer he'll be at work.
Yeah. Yeah, understood. Well, having this to fall back on, Marilyn, is obviously key. I generally recommend 3 to 6 months expenses in this season of life. Having a bit more is not a bad idea. Getting some interest on that, especially with inflation at a 4-decade high, probably makes some sense because we're losing purchasing power on that money. If you're comfortable with an online savings account with an online bank and you're comfortable doing business online, that would probably make the most sense because you could get an FDIC-insured savings account, link it to your checking account that you have at probably a brick-and-mortar bank down the street, and then electronically you could move the money back and forth. The reason you do that is right now at one of these online banks like Marcus or Ally Bank or Capital One 360, you could find, you know, interest rates around 3.5% right now for a liquid savings account with no maintenance fees and FDIC insurance. So at least you're getting, you know, $600 a year or more in terms of interest on this $20,000 while it's sitting there, but it's completely liquid, it's safe, and it's readily available. Would that be something you'd be comfortable with, or would you rather stay with something more local that you can walk into?
We have never done anything online. My husband doesn't even want a debit card on anything. Okay. I have a debit card on that account because it's in my name.
Sure. So the alternative to that would be to look maybe for a local credit union in your area, somebody that has a little bit better rate of return than maybe you're getting from your bank. A lot of the, you know, big national banks right now are paying 0.1%, you know, so I mean, you're not getting a whole lot. So I might look around for a credit union where you could open a savings account. You know, the problem is any other options are going to require you to do something online, even, you know, I-bonds. If you were to lock, you know, 10,000 of this up for 12 months, you know, they're paying 6.8% right now, backed by the full faith and credit of the U.S. government. You can only do them online, you know, treasurydirect.gov. So if you want to stay in face-to-face, and I can certainly appreciate that, I'd probably look to a credit union, but I'd keep that money right where it is, safe and liquid, because the unexpected will come. Marilyn, thanks for checking with us today. God bless you. John, just about a minute left. John Putnam here, financial coach, certified Kingdom advisor, founder of Smarter Stewardship. We've been talking goals. We've got just about 30 seconds left. Tie a bow on this idea of thinking about what God is doing in our financial lives and setting goals in a new year.
Well, I would just say, Rob, in closing, just keep it simple. Take this a step at a time and keep your goals smart, specific, and measurable, action-oriented, a little risky, not off the chart, but a little risky, and make it time keyed. And if your listeners would like to jump in on a short series that I'm digging into this a little bit more, they can go to smarterstewardship.com for the podcast, or go to changeforyourdollar.com. That's the name of the podcast. And they can jump in and give them a jump start and supercharge their goal achievement in 2023.
It. Awesome. Thanks for stopping by. Want to say big thanks to my team today, our producer today, Devin Patrick, helping me with great research, Jim Henry. Handling our phones today, Pat Montague. Thank you for being here. I'm Rob West, and on behalf of our entire team, may the Lord bless you today. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.